Police searched Gacy's home and found the decomposed remains of three bodies in a dirt crawl space under the house.
Tomorrow marks 30 years since Johnny Gosch disappeared on his paper route.
I just killed my mom and my sister.
The city is preoccupied with the killer who in one note signed himself the Son of Sam.
The East Area Rapist, just when you thought the story couldn't get any worse.
Wrists and ankles chained, gagged, probably blindfolded.
We have an individual who apparently has the uncontrollable desire to kill.
It's Murder Monday on the Joe and Alex Show. Listener discretion is advised.
The reason we do Murder Monday is to bring attention to Crime Stoppers. They let you anonymously give tips on any unsolved crime that might be in your area. Here is the number. You should save this so you can call them. 1-800-222-TIPS. That's 1-800-222-TIPS. Alex, what are you covering today for Murder Monday?
Serial killer Gary Heidnik was just as sick and twisted as the Hollywood movie character he inspired, Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs.
It rubs the lotion on its skin. It does this whenever it's told.
Mister, my family will pay cash. Whatever ransom you're asking for, they'll pay it.
It rubs the lotion on its skin or else it gets the hose again.
Gary Heidnik is born in Ohio in 1943 and eventually learns how to control people after a rough start to his life. He suffers through an abusive childhood where his father abused him and even made fun of him for bedwetting by forcing him to hang his dirty sheets for the neighbors to see. His issues continue throughout high school. He ends up isolated with no friends and is totally socially stunted before joining the army after he graduates. He gets discharged because of mental health issues after only 13 months, and they're pretty sure he's got a personality disorder. Then he works as a nurse for a while before finding a way to control people via religion. Gary Heidnik starts something called the United Church of the Ministers of God in 1971 in Philadelphia with just five followers and a $1,500 investment. But things grow wildly from there. He ends up raising more than $500,000 for his cult.
How much?
$500,000, $500,000. And he's got more than 50 members that start coming over to his house for these Bible studies or whatever once a week. And this is not, again, this is like his own made up religion.
But that's insane. Like without like social media connections and all these things, like way back then, that many people and that much money.
That much money in 1971 is insane.
Wow.
For today, like just comparing to today. And that experience really gives him the confidence to kind of try out this mind control stuff on a more disturbing level. And so he starts finding women to lock up in his basement. Gary Heidnik captures his first victim, Josefina Rivera, in 1986. And I know it's hard to imagine, but he actually turns her into his accomplice. Like most of the women Heidnik targeted, Rivera was a prostitute and African-American. It's Thanksgiving, and Josefina is trying to get money to buy her family dinner, turkey, and all the fixings. A Cadillac pulls up, and it's Gary. He gets her to go home with him by promising money in exchange for sex. When they go up to his front door, he pulls out a weird-looking key. It looks like a key cut in half. And when she asks him about it, he says, "The other half of the key is already in the lock, so I'm the only one who can open the door." They have sex, and while Josefina is getting her clothes back on, Gary comes up from behind and chokes her. He handcuffs her wrist behind her back and drags her down to his basement. And this basement is completely horrifying. It's dirty. It's unfinished. There's this nasty mattress on the ground. There are exposed pipes everywhere. And he sits Josefina on the mattress and chains her to the pipes behind her. He puts his head in her lap and he falls asleep. Josefina looks around and sees a small pit in the center of the room deep into the ground. Gary brings her crackers and water and tells her that he has a plan to get 10 women pregnant at the same time because he wants to start his own family.
I want to be like the Duggars.
He walks out and Josefina gets out of her handcuffs somehow. I mean, she's like a boss. And there is a tiny window in the basement and Josefina pushes it up and starts screaming as loud as she can out the window. But nobody hears her except Gary. He comes down the stairs and unchains her from the wall and says, "You're never going to escape, so don't even try." Josefina's life flashes before her eyes. Gary throws her into the pit, boards it up, and seals her in. The only light that seeps in comes through thin cracks between the wood at the top of the pit. And before walking out, Gary turns up heavy metal music to drown out Josefina's screams. And this is one of the things that they kept in the movie Silence of the Lambs. The next day, Josefina wakes up to the sound of a woman speaking and chains rattling. She sees that Gary had removed the wooden cover to the pit and that he is a naked and chained, mentally challenged woman with him. Gary introduces the girls to each other and says the other girl's name is Sandy. Sandy tells Josephina that she met Gary at the Elwin Institute for the Retarded, and that is the actual name of the place, so nobody jump down my throat,
please. Oh my God, I can't believe Alex said that word!
Gary was meeting patients at this mental hospital, I guess, and he was like grooming them into thinking that he's their friend, basically so he could eventually abduct them and molest them and stuff. And Josephina and Sandy, at one point, are eating crackers when they hear a knock at the front door. It's Sandy's sister and cousins who were looking for her. They had found out, like, probably through the sign-in sheet or something at the mental hospital, that a guy named Gary Heidnik had been visiting their sister at the mental hospital. And Gary hears them, doesn't come to the door. Instead, he goes downstairs to the pit and makes Sandy write two letters to her family saying that she had run away. And because of that, the police won't help her family find her. Because they're like, well, she's an adult, technically. Like, she wanted to run away. Like, this was all on her own. So now it's 3 days before Christmas, and Gary picks up a 19-year-old girl named Lisa who's walking to her friend's house. He tries to take her on a date, and she keeps saying no because she's like, well, I don't have the right clothes on. You know, I got to find something else to wear and stuff like that. And Gary pulls out a $50 bill and says, well, we'll get you some new clothes right now.
Dang.
So Lisa says yes and eventually gets in his car and ends up at his house. He brings her down to the basement and pulls the plywood off the pit. And Lisa sees Josephina and Sandy down there and realizes that they haven't been able to escape. So just imagine the despair that you would feel. Like, you're abducted. You're thinking, you know, right now you probably have high hopes. Like, I got to get out of here. I'm going to find a way. And then you see that two other chicks are in the same situation. They look like they've been down there for months. Like, it's not looking good.
Like, if they're not getting out, how am I going to escape?
So absolutely scary. A few days later, Gary brings another mentally challenged woman named Deborah Dudley down to the pit. But she fights him every time he tries to touch her. And Gary starts manipulating the girls. When Deborah fights him, he beats on the other girls. And so the girls start to get to the point where anytime Deborah starts to fight Gary, they attack her because they're trying to protect themselves from getting hurt by him. They're sick of getting beat up by him.
That's so twisted.
I know. He was taking a 2x4 and beating the daylights out of them every single time Deborah would give him a hard time. And then he starts making them have relations with each other, and he would stand there and watch. It was just like this giant, sick, manipulative way to get them to turn on each other and beat on each other so that they would respect him more. And 2 weeks later, Gary brings an 18-year-old sex worker, Jacqueline Haskins, into the basement. Sandy, the second girl, gets caught trying to take the plywood off the pit. Gary hangs her by the wrist and one handcuff by the ceiling pipe for days.
Ugh.
She starts getting super sick, and the other girls are getting worried. They're telling Gary, you got to take her down. You got to take her to the hospital. But Gary is refusing. He's starting to get constantly paranoid that the girls are plotting against him. The question is, were they? And will they make a successful escape from the pit? Murder Monday continues next on The Joe and Alex Show. Just another warning. I know we always say listener discretion is advised. It really is advised in the second part here, so enter at your own risk. It is the 80s in Philadelphia, and Gary Heidnik, who was the serial killer that inspired the character Buffalo Bill in the award-winning movie Silence of the Lambs, has abducted five women and put them all down into a pit in his basement for months. He has kept them, one of them named Sandy, chained and hanging by the wrists for days to an exposed pipe on the ceiling in the basement because she tried to escape. But Sandy hasn't been looking good, and the other girls begin to beg Gary to take her to a hospital. But Gary is getting increasingly paranoid that the girls are all conspiring together to escape. So here's your brutal warning. He shoves a screwdriver in all of the girls' ears because he thinks that if they're deaf, they won't be able to talk to each other and conspire against him.
Oh my gosh.
I know. Bear with me. Gary thinks that Sandy is pregnant, and that's why she's sick looking and throwing up, even though the girls are like, Kate, no, she is sick because you've been hanging her from the ceiling for days, and, you know, she's living off tiny cracker crumbs. So Gary is getting increasingly paranoid, and Gary thinks that if he takes Sandy down, she'll be fine. But she falls down from the ceiling, and she doesn't really move. So he just kicks her into the pit, and when she falls down, the other girls know immediately that she is dead.
Ugh.
Gary takes Sandy's body upstairs, and that's when the girls hear a power saw. Yeah.
Oh, no, 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 no!
After a few days, the entire neighborhood smells terrible things going on at the house, and so a policeman is called. He stops by, and Gary says, oh, that smell, I just burned a roast. So the cop leaves.
And I mean, to be fair, like, what is the cop to think? He's like, are you sure you don't have women down in a hole in your basement?
Right. Meanwhile, Gary's paranoia is even getting worse with the girls. Deborah Dudley keeps defying him, so Gary chains all the girls together with their hands and feet and takes an extension cord and starts electrocuting the chains.
Ugh.
The next time Deborah defies him, he tells Deborah she's to come upstairs with him. When she returns to the pit, she's as white as a ghost, and the other girls beg her to tell them what she saw. She says Gary took her up to the kitchen, took a lid off a pot on the stove, and inside the pot was Sandra's head. The defiance between Deborah and Gary gets so bad that the next time she does something, he fills the pit with water, takes the other girls out, and just leaves her in there by herself, and then electrocutes her to death. So now there are three girls left. Josefina, the first girl he took, has been trying to make an escape plan the entire time, and no stuff has to get real at this point because he's killing them all off. Josefina starts pretending like she's his wife or his lover or something and says she hates the other girls and she'll do anything for him. And when Deborah dies, Gary makes Josefina sign a piece of paper that says, "I killed Deborah," signed Josefina Rivera. And when she signs it, in his mind, he just thinks, oh, well, now she'll never go against me or something. Because if she goes to the police, they're going to arrest her.
Look at this paper.
Yeah, she signed the paper. So she just goes along with that, the whole thing. She acts like he's so smart. And March rolls around. Remember, they've been all in there since Thanksgiving. So it's March now. She convinces Gary to let her leave to visit her family. And she tells him if he lets her, she'll bring him back a new girl. And he agrees.
What a dummy.
He drops her off at her apartment and says he'll wait for her at the gas station. Her boyfriend is sitting on the couch. Josefina walks in screaming about how she's been missing for 4 months, locked in some guy's basement. He's killed people and all this stuff. And her boyfriend just looks at her. He's like, "You're crazy." So he doesn't even believe her. The way that she convinces him is she shows him her scars, and that's when he's like, holy blank, and calls the cops. And when the cops first get to the apartment, they don't believe her at first either, but then they see her injuries and they believe her. So they all go to the gas station, and there's Gary just sitting in his Cadillac waiting for Josefina. So they arrest him, and two officers go to his house, but they also can't get into his front door at first because of the weird key situation. Remember, he owns half of, he like made it so his way of keeping his house locked was he broke a key in half, put half of it in the lock and kept the other half himself. So it was like impossible to get in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so they break down the door. They go down to the basement, and that's when they see Jacqueline asks Lisa Thomas and another girl named Agnes that he had just gotten in the pit. Some of them are in the pit. Some of them are naked, chained to the ceiling pipe. It's 1987, by the way. Police go into the kitchen. They find human ribs in the oven, and they find a human forearm in the freezer. Gary is arrested, tried, and convicted of 18 charges. Rape, murder, kidnapping, aggravated assault, and more. He claims Josefina is his accomplice. He tries to say that he's insane as a defense. And my favorite part is this. The judge says, well, if you are smart enough to get an accomplice, you're not insane. And so she completely screws his defense.
What I meant was,
Right. They also called Gary Heidnik's stockbroker to the stand from Merrill Lynch. And he says Gary was an astute investor who knew exactly what he was doing. Gary is sentenced to death and in 1999 is executed by lethal injection. Not one person came to claim the body. And you can see pictures of Gary, Josefina, the pit, the scene from Silence of the Lambs that inspired it all on Instagram at Joe and Alex Show. Or sorry, the scene that inspired it all on Silence of the Lambs. And here is a snippet of Josefina Rivera talking about her experience from the 90s.
Whoever's holding you captive, the same person after a period of time, you're going to grow to like him and regardless because he's your only contact to things that are outside. He's your only source of survival, and over a period of time, psychologically, you notice this is the person that's got to bring you bread and water, and he just created his own little world in his basement, and everybody just kind of pretty much dealt with it, I guess, in their own way.
That is the Gary Heidnik story, and I'm pretty sure that you can still watch The Silence of the Lambs on Netflix if you want to watch and you've never seen it.
Wow, another creepy as can be Murder Monday. Thank you so much, Alex.